Hi, I am Takuma Sato. You're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven. And there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree from F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 597, August 24th, 2012. Nasser?
Today's edition of F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the all-new Dale Earnhardt Jr. Chevrolet in Tallahassee, where the host is ready to take a test drive.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Felipe Massa is delusional. U.S. Grand Prix at New Jersey could be in trouble. And more on No Angel by Tom Bauer. I'll be reading a few paragraphs from the book. And, of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Kind of sad, kind of missing the charming face of the host who has now moved across the great nation. So I'm missing you.
I understand, but I am in the deep south where Dale Earnhardt rules. And of course, he's opening up a brand new Chevrolet dealership here in beautiful downtown Tallahassee, Florida, the state's capital. But I know you miss me, but you've got that huge cardboard cutout of my face that I know you have right next to your bed.
Absolutely.
That's what I thought. Anyway, not much happening in F1, I have to admit, but there are a few curiosities. And my favorite, even though Massa is in denial, he was caught testing in a Coppa Fiat Championship car at Interlagos. Are there hidden meanings in this?
No, Ferrari has used him for promotional purposes. Some years ago, they took him to Saudi Arabia, which was kind of a surprise. And he has done this kind of stuff before also. And, you know, he also starred in a Shell commercial where he was acting as a gas attendant somewhere in Sao Paulo. But he had the fastest time in practice from what I hear.
Wow. Well, that's good. But, can Felipe Massa still promote for Ferrari? Does he have the gonads, so to speak?
Well, you know, the guy has won a lot of races, came second in the championship, and I'm sure he's a very famous person in his native country.
That's very true, especially in his native country, and I bet you they sell a lot of Fiats.
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind, you know, it's just like the Barrichello and Eddie Irvine situation. If he had a different teammate, he probably would be winning more races in the last few years.
That's very, very true. I have to admit, I concur completely. Let's move on because we've probably talked about Felipe Massa way too much already. Big news from the U.S. Grand Prix, New Jersey. Their CEO resigning. What do you make of it?
Well, Mr. Carter was more of a marketing guy, PR guy, and kind of surprised for him to go so soon. But, you know, this is Formula One. If things are not going up and down, then it won't be Formula One.
And, that's very true.
And he had started a very successful marketing PR company, which was with his own name. And I believe it was later sold on to Clear Channel Communications, which is a big company here. And then now he's going to go back to where he came from.
Exactly. So, yeah. Returning.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, you know, I go to work every day, and since I'm leaving on vacation, so there's a lot of work to take care of. And I'm, you know, I want Formula One back, ASAP.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. And luckily we have Spa-Francorchamps in beautiful Ardennes Forest in Belgium, and that's going to be a great race. And interestingly enough, I was talking last week on the show about how I believe Well, I'm hoping, and it's really their big chance, for Lotus F1 and Kimi Raikkonen and Romain Grosjean to possibly dominate at this track. But then we have this huge article from Adrian Newey saying that there will be no more domination. It's the field is too tight. The rules are too tight. And it's going to be so tight and neck in the second part of the Formula One season this year that it could be almost tragic. Do you agree with Mr. Newey?
Yeah, how can you argue with him? But, you know, I see his point that nobody, you know, they've had the first half of the season to sort out the cars, to get some domination going, but nobody has done that. And now, second half, I think people who are leading are going to be trying to cruise and collect as many points as they can. And some are probably, you know, giving up on this season and trying to work for a better car in 2013.
Well,
but I still think, you know, Nico Hülkenberg today came out and said he thinks Alonso will win the championship. And
wow.
I'm convinced that if Alonso can come out of, even if other people, you know, like put on a dominating show, but I think if he can come out with a 30-point lead after the European season is over, he knows how to finish races. And if I'm not mistaken, if he finishes in the points in this race, he will beat Michael Schumacher's record of consecutive points finishes.
Which is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, so the Mediterranean wind is blowing towards Oviedo.
Yes, I know, I agree, and I think the flags are waving in Oviedo right now. Because really, if everything goes well in Spa, it's going to be Fernando Alonso's championship to lose.
Yes, and even if one of the teams do get an edge, other teams like Red Bull or especially McLaren, you know, they have their internal civil wars like we saw in 2007. So I don't think Weber is going to go out of his way to help Sebastian Vettel get three in a row. And I don't think Jenson Button is going to be too excited to give up on his miso soup and give Hamilton a victory or two.
No, I agree. Those people will be fighting it out, but Fernando Alonso, certainly with a slower car, will be impressing us for the rest of the season. Now, I was really excited. We're going to have some in-season testing at one of your favorite tracks, and I believe it's Ralf Schumacher's favorite track in beautiful central France, Manicourt.
That's very interesting.
What's going on there?
I don't know. Let's see what happens and who gets the ride. And, you know, it will be interesting to see some new faces given some opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, I would really like to see a couple of guys get a test run in Formula One machinery. These kids are doing very well. One is Robin Friends. The other would be Felipe Nasser, you know, the Brazilian kid. And also Kevin Magnussen. I want to see him, how he will go. Sooner or later, somebody is going to pull out. You know, like today, somebody made some smarty pants comment about Nico Hülkenberg. And, you know, he's done the best he could, but he certainly has not done what Michael Schumacher did in his first qualifying run with the Jordan. But, you know, that's why we have a difference between Hülkenberg and Schumacher and Alonso and Massa. But I sure would like to see a couple of new faces get a first-time run or one of the first runs in Formula One at Manicourt.
Yeah, and I think Manicourt is a really good test track because it's such a smooth, clean surface, even though the whiff of cow manure could be problematic.
Would you say anything otherwise, Clark?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome.
So anyway, no, that's very exciting stuff. Now, I want to talk about quickly about this book that I've been reading, No Angel by Tom Bauer. I am telling you, this book is one of those books, once you start it, you cannot put it down. It's absolutely outstanding. Tom Bauer is a very good writer. And it's an easy read, but it's so intriguing, especially if you've been following Formula One for a number of years. So this is my book suggestion for the month. And I am going to read from page 218. And people who knew what was going on back in the day will recognize the plots and subplots.
Okay, why don't you start reading, and I'm going to go and get my PBR since you're in Tallahassee.
Exactly. A PBR is well-deserved for a read from Tallahassee. So you go ahead and I'll start.
Please proceed.
The night before the Schumacher hearing, Eccleston had met the driver and Jean Todt, the Ferrari team manager, in a London hotel. Over dinner, Eccleston was told that during the Jerez race, the Ferrari team had been eavesdropping on the radio conversations between the Williams team managers and Villeneuve. One manager could be heard telling Villeneuve that Mika Hakkinen of McLaren was just behind him and should be allowed to pass. Hakkinen had been very helpful, Villeneuve was told. Don't let me down, Jacques. We discussed this soon after Villeneuve allowed Hakkinen to pass and win the race. There was clear evidence, said Todt, that the Williams team had conspired with McLaren to fix the race. To put pressure on Moseley, the transcript of the conversations had been given to the Times for publication. Ferrari's argument presented by the newspaper was that Schumacher had been provoked to crash to overcome the conspiracy. In reply, Frank Williams and Ron Dennis expressed their disappointment that Ferrari were secretly listening to their conversations. Some believed Ferrari had concocted the smokescreen to divert attention from Schumacher's malevolence, while others mentioned a link to Williams and McLaren's dispute about the Concorde Agreement. Eccleston told Todt that the tapes would not influence the outcome of the trial. I'm told Max that Schumi's innocent. I'm sure he'll agree if Michael says the right things. Schumacher nodded in his understanding. During the actual hearing, Schumacher gradually conceded a point to Max Moseley, saying, I saw him come past, and I just thought I must stop him. In deliberating his judgment, Moseley changed his position. I must decide what is in the overall interest of the sport, he told Eccleston, and it's no use banning Schumacher or fining him a huge amount. The fans won't like it. Accordingly, Moseley declared that Schumacher's swerve, as they called it, has been instinctive and not made with malice or premeditation. It was a serious error. Instead of a ban, he took away Schumacher's second position, knowing that it was a meaningless gesture, and ordered him to teach road safety for 7 days. Jacques Villeneuve was confirmed as the world champion. FIA's justice was completed. So there you have it. Just a page of fantastic information about what was going on when Jacques Villeneuve and Schumacher ran into each other. Schumacher was cleared because Schumacher basically, as you go through this book, he was too important to F1 to ever really severely be punished. So it's a fantastic read. I highly recommend No Angel by Tom Bauer. Nasser?
Yes, sir. Very interesting. But, you know, a lot of these things happen in the Moseley era that it really would call for a series of podcasts to see what happened there, not just with this issue, but also with the traction control in the 1994 season.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's for another day.
Yeah. That is great stuff, and it's also mentioned in the book, but I certainly cannot divulge everything. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial, so we'll be back after this brief message from Bacino.com.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bacino offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bacino is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bacino.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the man himself, Nasser Hamid.
And now someone else is getting all your best. All over you.
Greetings and racing regards. Danny at Indy, another Danny at the Nürburgring. Brad gets Biffle in Brooklyn, and Miss Patrick is hush puppied in Montreal. Mr. Rogers, did you see any of the action?
No, you know what? I didn't, but it's so good. I had to go to YouTube and see some of this, you know, Danica stuff. It doesn't get better. But yes, this is a lot of action, you know, and I'm seeking out racing while F1 is on hiatus.
See. Okay, we shall start with MotoGP at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Second race of the season on American soil, which is good. Danny Pedrosa becomes the first repeat winner in MotoGP competition at the Brickyard. Local hero Ben Spies led briefly, but then experienced done blowed up, which was very disappointing. Jorge Lorenzo was second, and fellow Yamaha rider Andrea Dovizioso was third. Casey Stoner, who had a bad crash on Saturday, was fourth. Nicky Hayden did not start after suffering hand injuries in his crash. Championship, which was looking easy for Lorenzo, is now heating up. He still leads, but fellow Spaniard Pedrosa has now moved into second ahead of Stoner. And Stoner was quoted today as saying that this injury has pretty much done his season for this year. The weekend was a complete sweep for Spanish riders, and this was very impressive as both Moto2 and Moto3 races were also won by Espanol riders.
Which is great for the sport because España loves their MotoGP.
Yes, and actually the company that promotes MotoGP, Dorna, is based out of Barcelona.
Of course.
And Ducati has announced that Doctor will be replaced by another guy, Andrea Dovizioso. And Andrea is the Sergio Perez of MotoGP, I have to say. We stay in the U.S. for NASCAR race in Brooklyn, Michigan. Another done blowed up for a local ace while leading. Jimmy Johnson was the victim this time. Brad Keselowski was chased down by your favorite, Greg Biffle, who went on to win for Jack Roush in 14. In the points, this is exciting. It has to be exciting for you. Biffle leads with 823 points. Matt Kenseth second on 803 points, and Dale Jr. is third with 801. And this is all in the Chase to the Chase, which will feature top 12 drivers fighting for the championship points from the last 10 races of the season. So it's kind of like a NASCAR playoff. And good for them. You know, it's working out well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Next we go, keep on trucking. Nelson Piquet Jr. is doing just that. He finally grabbed his first win in the Camping World Truck Series and thus becoming only the second non-U.S. born driver to win in Camping World Truck Series. It's so competitive. So congratulations to Junior and Senior all the way in Brasilia. Indy cars, rumor mill, they are also enjoying a little break, but rumors are again flying that some owners are trying to buy the series from the Hulman family as they don't like the IndyCar CEO, Randy Bernard. Have they ever liked any CEO there?
No, it's ridiculous.
You know, in the old car days, they once had a guy who was head of the Olympic committee or some senior Olympic guy, and then one of my favorite hiring was Mr. Bill Stokan, who used to be CEO of Playboy Enterprises.
One of my favorite enterprises.
Absolutely. Haven't we seen this movie before, starring Tony George and Kevin Kalkhoven? And for the 2013 season, IndyCar is trying to land on the planet of New Orleans to complete schedule for 19 races. American Le Mans at Road America, closest finish in series history. 0.083 was the difference between the winning Lola Mazda of Guy Smith and Chris Bison and the HPD ARX of Lucas Lohr and Klaus Graf. Now, next item is pretty interesting because we interviewed this Ute very recently. The series U.S. Formula 2000 was also at Road America, and Matthew Brabham won two of the three races and now has taken the lead in the championship. And if you win the championship, you get a fully funded ride in Formula Star Mazda, courtesy of Mazda. So that can zoom your career. Now we go north the border, Canada way. The nationwide series, the GP2 of NASCAR Nation, was in action at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Among the drivers in the field, JV, Patrick Carpentier, Alex Tagliani, all from Canada. Tagliani was on pole, and of course our favorite Miss Danica Patrick. As in her IndyCar days, she took the lead when other drivers pitted for fuel. And then came the floor shine moment. A shoe was thrown on the track, and Robin Miller is saying it was thrown by Milka Duno, but I'm sure that's a joke. And this was run over by GoDaddy's little girl, and that was that. And for some nice language, please check out the incident on YouTube. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. JV, Jacques Villeneuve, was trying to win the race on Jackson Brown program, running on empty, but was given, he slowed down a little bit and was given a slight left tap by Justin Allgaier, who went on to win his first NASCAR road race. Sam, I am Hornish, put on a good show and came in second for Mr. Penske, and Jack ended up finishing third. Grand-Am Series was also in action at the same track. Winners were Scott, hi to my family, Pruitt, and Memo, buenos dias para familia, Rojas for Chip Ganassi. This was victory number 150 for the Chipster across all forms of motorsports. Dario Franchitti, and we all know who his cousin is by now, right?
Yeah, I remember him somewhere in Formula One.
Yeah, Dario drives for Ganassi in Indy cars, and Monty drives for Ganassi in Monster cars. John Fogarty and Alex Bernie were second, and now, since we are in Canada, we hop on Air Canada for a friendly departure to the Eiffel Mountains and the Nürburgring Racing Circuit. And victory for Canadian pilot Bruno Spengler from pole position in the DTM race. The BMW racer is a French-speaking Canadian residing in Mulhouse in Francia. Eduardo Mortara, Italian-speaking Swiss, was second driving for the Rosberg Audi team, and as Rosberg as in Keke Rosberg. Martin Tomczyk was third in his BMW. Your favorite, Ralph Schumacher, was 13th, Susie Wolff 17th, Joey Hand from Sacramento was 18th, and DC 20th, a lap down. Gary Paffett leads the championship by 20 points from Spengler, who is now second. And this was Audi's 200th DTM race after their debut in 1984 at Zolder. Moving on to next series, F3 Euro Series, but staying at the same track, Nürburgring. Three races, three different winners. Man of the moment, Spaniard Daniel Junqueira, won the opening race from pole position. Carlos Sainz Jr. was 7th, and Michael Lewis from Southern California 15th. Race 2 saw first victory in the series for Nissan as engine supplier when Alexander Sims led from start to finish. He is now a regular in sports car racing. Very impressive Italian-speaking Swiss, Rafael Marcello, was 2nd. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Pascal Wehrlein, with Will Buller 2nd and Jasmine Jaffer of Malassi 3rd. Now we go FIA GT in Slovakia at the Slovakia Ring. Jelmer Burman and Michael Bartels were the winners in the BMW Z4 or Z4, depending on your taste and language. Mark, what do they call a Z in Florida? Z or Z or something else?
Well, you got to drink about three PBRs first, then you just go Z, Z.
Okay, that's good. That sounds pretty authentic, by the way.
Yeah, well, I've been here for a couple of days now, and it just doesn't take time. And by the way, I had okra today.
You have what?
Okra.
Ah. And have you had another tattoo on your arms or somewhere?
No, I did not have another tattoo, but it's in the works. I'm thinking of PBR logo.
Oh, that's great.
Or a bust of Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, wow. How about a Colt 45 on your cheek?
A Colt 45 on my cheek?
Yeah.
We could do it. We have the artwork. We have the technology.
I'm sure you do. Okay, Mark Bessing and Marcus Finkelhock were second in their Mercedes, and Matthias Lauda, son of you-know-who, was third in his BMW. Now, another of our favorites from days gone by with Antonio Liuzzi. He will be at Silverstone this weekend racing a Lotus Lola in the 6 hours race. Well, let's see if any of our listeners are going there.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an exciting race. And I don't think I've seen Vitantonio Liuzzi this excited about a race for years. I think maybe since he was teamed up with Scott Speed.
Oh yeah, that was a beautiful combo.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, some sad news to report. Mike Hewlin, founder of Hewlin Engineering, has passed away last week at the age of 89. There was a time in Formula One that apart from Ferrari, all teams were using Hewlin gearboxes. He retired in 1991, and the business is run today by his son, William. And it was 25 years ago this week, Mr. Rogers, that Didier Pironi was killed in a powerboat accident. This was the sport he took up after he was unable to carry on his Formula One career following serious injuries to his legs during qualifying at Hockenheim Ring during the sad and tragic 1982 season. His first F1 victory came in the 1980 Belgian Grand Prix at Zolder, and we all know what happened there 2 years later. The 82 season, you know, he had such a decent lead in the championship that he would have for sure become the first French world champion had he not had that accident. And it was so tragic, you know, it was raining very heavily, and there was really no need for him to go out, but, you know, as things happened, he did and crashed, and yeah, it was... Actually, he crashed into the back of Alain Prost's Renault.
Correct.
If you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
And and he also won the Le Mans 24-hour race with Jean-Pierre Jousseau as a teammate, I believe. Okay, looking ahead to this weekend, Indy cars are in action here in California, wine country, at Sears Point, previously known as Infineon, also known as Golden State, and now I believe they are calling it the Sonoma Raceway, which is the area where it's located. Audi versus Toyota in sports car racing at Silverstone, plus World Series by Renault as a support race, featuring championship leader and F1 Weekly friend Robin Friends, and many other talented drivers like Jules Bianchi, Sam Bird, Kevin Magnussen, and Alexander Rossi from Northern California. DTM at Zandvoort in Holland, also known as the Netherlands, and the Aussie Tin Tops, also known as V8 Series, at Eastern Creek. So, what are you doing this weekend in Florida, young man?
Well, Nass, you know, we got a hurricane heading towards Florida. It was raining quite a bit this morning, but we're going to do some sophisticated stuff. What guys do in the South?
You mean go to a NASCAR race?
We're going to do a little NASCAR talking. We're going to do a little hot dog eating, and then we're going to do a little beer drinking.
Great, great. Well, I wish you all the best and stay in contact. When are you coming back?
Oh, I'm not coming back until the first week of September, so I'm getting deep into this. It's fun and it's exciting.
Are you coming before I bail out?
No, I believe we'll actually miss each other at one international airport or another, but we have Skype and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, we shall stay connected.
We will stay connected. So, Nass, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Let's go ahead and just wrap it up. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email moi at clark@f1weekly.com. There you go, Nass.
Thank you, sir, and all the best to everybody, and take care.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.